This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Now, this is the spot in the show where we are regularly looking at some legal issues. I think I'm just going to call it the legal eagle spot. And our legal eagle today is Christina Antoniadis from Nichols Family Law. Hello, Christina. Welcome back.
Oh, thanks, Doug. It's good to be back.
I didn't know whether we were ever going to see you again because everybody at your firm seemed to want to
come. I was getting a little bit paranoid, I must say. They quite liked appearing on your show. I was getting a little bit jealous.
We're definitely working our way through the roster. Anyway, welcome back.
Thank you.
Now, we're going to talk today a little bit about the law around gay parenting. And in particular, I know you wanted to talk about the Assisted Reproductive Treatment Act. I have trouble getting my tongue
around. Let's call it the ART Act. How's that?
Okay, ART.
Yes.
ART. Okay. Now, roughly and in simple terms, can you kind of just give us an idea of what this act now does for same-sex couples.
Sure. It did come into operation on 1 January. It was a long time coming, and there were a number of bills that were passed prior to it coming in. But basically, lesbian women and single women are allowed to access IVF through registered clinics to have children. So it really takes away the need to self-inseminate at home.
Yeah, and previously also there was a lot of reproductive tourism going on up to Albury Wodonga.
Exactly.
Because it was okay in New South Wales.
We were a bit behind the times, yeah.
But not here.
Yeah.
Okay, so that sounds on the surface a good thing. What implications, however, does this have for who is recognised, for example, as the parents of that child?
Okay. I see a lot of situations. I think it would be easiest if I give an example. Mm. I see a lot of situations where I get a lesbian couple and a gay donor, and whether it be through self-insemination or through an IVF clinic, and a child is conceived and born as a result of that. The problem is, donor has absolutely no legal recognition as the father of the child, regardless of if they want to be the father of the child.
Okay, so under this, if a woman conceives via artificial insemination, the semen donor is not a parent.
Exactly.
So does that count whether the woman is in a relationship with another woman or single?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. What about that woman's same-sex partner? Is she counted as a parent?
She is the parent. She is the other parent, and now she can go on the birth certificate as the other parent. And the only information that is on there are the two lesbian parents, and the donor's information is stored at a clinic, but it does not actually appear on the birth certificate.
I can foresee that leading to problems further down the track when these children get a little bit older, because what's to stop them meeting up unbeknownst with siblings, for example, and falling in love with them?
Well, that's it. I actually had there's no short answer to that one, Doug. Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Essentially, I had a client that went to the park with her young, I think it was a young daughter, saw another gay family playing, and the son looked very much like her daughter, and they found out they were half siblings. Mm. And what actually happened with that is one family wanted to interact with the other family didn't, and that caused a lot of drama, and one family made an application to the court, and it just got really messy. But legally, they're not entitled. The parties, you can't force yourself upon another family if you know that they have a sibling. And also, look, it is limited. The donor, if it's through a clinic, an ART clinic, the donor can't give more than 10 specimens, so you can't have more than 10 children within the state. But having said that, that's a lot of children within the one state.
Yes, and probably a large number of them within Northcote.
Yes, but I can tell you, Essendon, I've noticed there's a lot of lesbians in Essendon lately.
Yeah, this could be problematic further down the track, not recording the biological father on the birth certificate as well. I think that's possibly something they might need to revisit somewhere. Now, presumably there's some kind of legal arrangement that people can come to. If, for example, the two women don't want the sperm donor to be involved in the raising of that child, that's relatively easy.
Well, essentially the sperm donor legally has no right to this, to be even know the child.
Okay. So, but supposing I want to be a sperm donor, and I'm approached by a lesbian couple, and I say to them, "Yes, I'm happy to be your sperm donor, but I want to have some say in how this child is raised."
You have no rights.
I don't want to be a full-time parent. I'm quite happy for you to do that, but I do want to be consulted. Is there any way I can legally make that arrangement?
The short answer is no. You have absolutely no rights, and there is room for amendment there, which I'll talk to you about in a moment. You could make an application to the court, which I have done so in the past. The court then says, and it can all be done administratively, you can send it into the court saying you're going to be a parent to this child. The problem is the court are now conducting welfare reports and having all the parties go and see a counsellor and figuring out what's in the child's best interest, and it's just a long, drawn-out process. But in the absence of a court order, you have absolutely no right.
So even if I had some kind of written agreement with these two women beforehand, that wouldn't have any legal standing whatsoever?
None at all. None at all.
Okay, I can see that one being problematic as well, because I do know of situations where men have decided that they would like to have a say in the child's upbringing, and once they have the child, the women have said no. That's a fraught area indeed.
Can I say though, if there is an agreement and the lesbian couple say, yes, we'd like you to have a role in our child's life, and you do have that role, whatever it may be, whether it's, you know, every week, every month, whatever, and then they turn around subsequent to that later down the track and say, sorry, Doug, don't want you to be in my child's life anymore, you can then apply to the court under what they term as a significant person in the child's life. But you have to have met the child and have formed a relationship with that child before being able to make that application.
Okay. Let's look at same-sex male parents. Now, usually two men will have a child via surrogacy. It now seems to be the common thing, often overseas surrogacy, which is in itself is a bit problematic, I understand. Nowadays India seems to be the country of choice, because it's cheaper there than it is to do it in the USA. Let's start with the nationality of that child. Is that child going to be automatically Australian?
If it is conceived with one of the gay partner's sperm, yes, it will be. So if that partner is an Australian resident, Australian citizen, whatever it may be, whatever their status is, they will automatically gain that status, obtain that status, I should say.
Right. So that's one hurdle out of the way.
Yes.
Now, what about, you talked about two women going on a birth certificate. What about putting two men on a birth certificate?
Not as yet, no.
So what appears on the birth certificate?
You would have the biological father on the birth certificate.
And no mention of the surrogate mother?
From overseas, I actually don't know. I'd have to look further into that, but I don't think so. The surrogate mother, in Australia anyway, is not the legal parent of that child.
Right, okay. And now, the other thing that complicates this, of course, is that the egg used to produce this child is not from the surrogate mother.
No.
Usually. That's from yet another person.
Exactly.
So this gets very complex.
And expensive. It's really expensive.
It's a lot cheaper in India than it is in the US, which leads to accusations of you're exploiting third world women, which is yet another issue. But I'm interested in, let's take the case of two gay men. They've had a baby with a surrogate mother in India from a third party, or fourth party, I suppose, egg donor, right? They have brought the child back to Australia. The child is the biological child of one of those two women. What are the rights of the other guy?
One of the two men?
The non-biological father, if I can call him that.
He will be deemed to be a significant person in the child's life.
But he will not have parenting rights.
Not in the absence of a family court order. He can obtain a parenting, what they call a parenting declaration, with the family court. And again, that is simply a matter of drawing up some orders, sending them into the court. And depending on which registrar looks at the orders and how much information is actually given about these arrangements, they either make the orders or send the parties off with the child to have a welfare report.
Okay, more complication.
Exactly.
More complication. What about the second dad adopting the child?
Adoption's such a hard process. You can do it, and it's not my area of specialties, but I know that it's expensive and it's a very long process.
So it seems like men get a raw end of the pineapple in these situations.
Very
both as a biological father to a lesbian couple's child and as a non-biological parent to their own child.
Exactly, yes. Yep. And it's now also, these laws have actually now transferred to the Family Law Act as well. Mm-hmm. So it's all been ratified within that legislation. So, yeah, they have a very raw deal and there needs to be some sort of reform. Definitely.
In the meanwhile, do you have any particular advice to, first off, a female couple contemplating a child?
Female couples, the first thing I would say is as long as they don't have sexual intercourse with the male who's providing the sperm, they're fine in terms of the parenting role of both parties and they're automatically both a parent, but they have to be in a relationship when the child is conceived. The non-biological mother has to give her consent, otherwise she won't be deemed to be the other parent.
It's very complicated.
It is very complicated.
I think the short answer is they need to come and see somebody like you.
Yes. Exactly.
And double so if it's two guys, considering this. That aside, gay parenting is a lot easier than it was.
Oh, I mean, previously, before the ART Act, self-insemination was illegal. I mean, I don't know how that actually proved that you have self-inseminated, but it was illegal. And under the ART, you can self-inseminate, you can go through an IVF clinic, you can basically conceive any way you want, and lesbians have 100% protection. Can I say though, Doug?
For once, women get the better deal.
Yeah, I know. Well, the only thing is, though, and I don't know if many lesbians are aware of this, you have to have a police check and a child welfare report check.
Yes.
That heterosexual couples do not
have to.
And in principle, I'm not opposed to it if it was across the board. I have worked in Maui and had some interesting cases up there, but it shouldn't be for single and lesbian women only.
Yeah. What about and gay men?
They don't really come under the
ART. Because they don't come under the ART, so they skip that.
Because they're essentially just a donor. They're just a specimen, not a parent.
Right.
Yeah, I know it sounds awful. I'm sorry.
It seems to me like this law needs some sorting out.
It does.
It needs some sorting out. All right. Well, thanks very much for your time this morning, Christina.
No worries, Doug.
We look forward to seeing you or one of your colleagues again next week when we'll look into another legal issue of interest to our community. Before Christina goes, I should actually say a hooroo to Merrin Hicks over at Pet Emergency on the Dandenong Road. That's her girlfriend at the moment.
No, not girlfriend, just a friend.
Just a friend. All right. I'm just matchmaking here. But I must say thank you to Merrin myself. I met her the other night when she bandaged up my poor bleeding dog and put him back on his feet again. So thank you very much, Merrin, for a job well done.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.